Hello and welcome back to another episode of Person of Interest with me, Natalie Jones. It is May, and May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's what all of these episodes are about. And this next one is a doozy. It's honestly gut-wrenching for me to publish this. I talk so openly about an eating disorder with my good friend Andy Zafaris, and I have never really come out and said it like this before, but I've been suffering with an eating disorder my entire freaking life, all 35 years of my existence. And not until recently when I started talking about it with a bunch of women I've met just in COVID did I find any sort of levity or grace or growth and any happiness within it. And now I can say that I'm walking taller and more proud than I've ever been to be myself just through talking about it. I really wanted to talk about this today. I want to give a disclaimer that if you are living with or someone who will be listening to this is in the room with an eating disorder, this is incredibly triggering, so you might want to just proceed with caution. But listen to this. So about 30 million people are suffering from eating disorder every day in America, 10 million of those being men, and over 70% of those people will never seek any sort of help or guidance because of stigma. Now, that is just insane. And also, anorexia is the third most common chronic illness amongst adolescents after asthma and obesity. Oh, my gosh. That is crazy. And the rate of children under 12 being admitted to the hospital for eating disorders rose 119% in the last decade. One in five anorexia deaths is by suicide. And 50 to 80% of the risk of anorexia is genetic. Now, we're not talking about only about anorexia here. There's also bulimia. There's binge eating disorder. There's so many other things. But as you, but today, Andy and I are just two women sitting around my kitchen table talking about our personal experience with it. Andy has gone through her own treatment and is still in recovery. I am dealing with it on my own as we go through this. I just now started talking about it, so I'm just bringing it to the surface. I want to let you know that we are not doctors. We're not trying to claim like we are telling anybody what to do. We are just two women being there for each other, talking about our own experience. Okay? Here we go. Me and Andy Zafaris talking about whatever it is that makes us tick every single day. If you like the podcast, like, subscribe, tell your friends about it, leave a review, do all those things. And also just keep in mind, May is Mental Health Awareness Month and talk about it. All right. You can DM us. You can email me, nataliewkrq.com. All those things. Without further ado, me and Andy Zafaris. Enjoy.
Well, so I asked you to come on today because you are open about your struggles with eating disorder. I'm just going to come right out and say it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really brave and bold of you. And May is Mental Health Month. So I want to celebrate and add awareness to as much mental health as possible. And I myself have struggled with eating disorder my entire life. And I never talk about it. And I just kind of started talking about it. And yeah, so I think it's so great. You inspire me so much. And I think it's really, really bold of you. And it was something that I've just kept a secret my whole life. And I think it's really held me back from so many things. And I just want to know, I want to learn about your experience.
Yeah. I find that talking about it helps me. It's a huge part of my recovery process. And that's, lucky me. An eating disorder is just like one of my few mental illnesses. So the more I talk about them, the easier it is to, I think, accept different ways to get better. Like therapy, I was pushed off for so long. And the more I began to talk about these things in my regular life, the more I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to take the next step. Do therapy, try different treatments, try different medications. But eating disorders specifically, I think, are just like wildly untalked about, and like wildly denied. You know, you see a lot of things on social media and Instagram and all of these different fitness influencers are very like strongly denying you that they have any problems, and it's just very clear they do. And it's just, I think it doesn't show that they're a sign of weakness if you're admitting that, or it doesn't show that you're any less credible. It's just,
or maybe some people, I feel like they don't know. As I just, when I started talking about this and bringing it to awareness and as something that I want to change within myself, My whole perspective changed, the way that I absorb all of that information when I used to be in it,
in it,
and following all this stuff and like obsessing over it. And now I look at same account, same online beta that I'm digesting and being like, oh, whoa, this is incredibly unhealthy and it is just enabling. And I think because everybody has the power now to just take a pic on their phone and say whatever they want.
I know.
But I think a lot of it is innocently done. People don't know. And maybe don't want to change, you know. I mean, you got to give freedom of speech. People can do whatever they want. So, but I think it can do a lot of damage and a lot of good.
Yeah. It's such a double-edged sword. I think it's how you're viewing it, but I think how we're being fed information now is really in a toxic way, because you're just looking at body after body after body, even when it is, you know, like I'm seeing more representation of like different body sizes, but it's still like these people that, you know, they're showing like, I'm happy, I'm healthy, da, 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 da. It's so hard to remind yourself that it's just a, like, that's what they choose to share on the internet. Yeah. That is not what their life is day in, day out. And honestly, I feel lucky to have gone through like the worst of my eating disorder issues before Instagram was wildly popularized, because I think it would have just absolutely.
So why don't we, let's start at the beginning. So
start at the beginning.
You know, Oprah growing up, you know, whatever, I digested media and always wanted to be like, I started running before school when I was in the fourth grade to burn calories. And I remember like the very first picture of me, I remember before I was a baby, you know, when I was like a toddler, I remember just feeling really fat in my bathing suit and not wanting a picture being taken in my bathing suit. And I was like three. And it's like, that is like my first memory. I just remember like it being, I just remember clear as day. And I was standing next to my sister and I didn't like my sister. She was such a bully. And I was like, I don't want to stand next to it. I don't want to take a picture of my bathing suit. Like, I look so fat in this. And I was like literally three or four. Like, it was before my fifth birthday.
Oh, no.
So personally, it's like been a lifelong struggle. Mm-hmm. And I hear people say it wasn't for them. So I'm curious, what is yours like?
Yeah. I went on my first diet in like sixth grade. But it was like, let me explain what my diet was. I ate fast food so much as a kid. We weren't like a unhealthy family. Like, my parents are like pretty healthy, walk every day, eat decently well, but like fast food was like a treat, and then I just started eating it all the time. And so my diet, one of my diet meals included a salad from McDonald's, like with ranch dressing. So like, let's call that a diet.
You're in sixth grade.
In sixth grade, that basically is a diet. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't eating french fries. And sixth through eighth grade, it was the one thing that I think triggered me. Sixth through eighth grade, junior high, was not really, I didn't think about my weight. I have a fast metabolism. It wasn't something that I had to put a lot of effort into. Something a girl said to me when I was in like seventh or eighth grade, she was like commenting on the fact that I eat like just a shit ton of food and was small, and she was, when you get your period, you're gonna blow up. And I was like, what?
Oh my god.
And it freaked me the fuck out. Like, I was just like, what do you mean, what is it, what? So freshman year of high school, I think I was still like starting to kind of like battle some of those demons a little bit. And it kind of just like snuck up on me. I wasn't purposely trying not to eat. I wasn't purposely trying to like lose weight. I was just terrified of what was going to happen to me, because this girl told me I was going to blow up like a whale.
Wow.
So like starting around ninth grade, I started, or it was 10th grade. I started like, I lived on lean cuisines. Like, that's like all I ate. And I would start, I'd walk my dog like three times a day for like 2-3 miles. I was doing volleyball at the time, so I had volleyball practice. And it was really, I mean, at that point, it wasn't even an exercise addiction. It was mostly just like I was eating 300 calories per meal. Yeah. But I was like, but I'm eating. It's like all good. All good.
Yeah.
And then I went to the doctor and they were like, whoa, we got to send you somewhere. And I was just like still really confused.
So like more on the ano side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my doctor was like, you are way too thin. We've got to like figure this out. And they sent me to worst experience of my entire life. Totally screwed me up for the rest of my eating like behavior.
Really?
Sent me to a dietitian or nutritionist. Dietitian was like, okay, we're going to put you in the hospital and like we're going to monitor your meals. Or you can like go home and do it. And my parents like, we'll take care of it at home. Every single meal had to be portioned out, measured. I'd eat at very specific times of the day. So it was like breakfast is at 8, snack 1 is at 10, lunch is at 12, snack 2 is at 2. And everything was so calculated out and so measured. I had to do that for like a month. I wasn't allowed to leave my house. I was on bed rest.
How much did you weigh at this time?
And like 88 pounds or
wow. so. Wow. Okay. This was pretty severe. Like,
and they were like, okay, so you're going to gain 20 pounds.
And this is in what grade are you in?
10th grade.
Wow.
And they're like, you're going to gain 20 pounds before you can leave.
And you were high functioning? Like you were studying? You were going to school and everything?
Yeah. I had no idea that like I was in a place of danger. Because
you were still eating.
Yeah. That is a very good argument to make to your brain and to other people. It's like, I'm eating. I eat every meal.
Yeah.
But I wasn't eating near enough. And I was moving so much that my calorie intake for the day was netting negatively.
So can I stop you here? So like your mentality through all of this, was it what were you thinking?
Once I got sent to the dietitian instructions, I was scared. I was so scared. Because at that point I was like, oh, I've worked really hard to not blow up like a whale. And now you're telling me I have to gain all this weight. Gain this weight plus more back.
Is that scary?
It was terrifying. It was terrifying.
I want to ask, like, I've heard some people talk about when they were in the throes of addiction and eating disorder, because I feel like those two are like borderline kind of similar, like even addiction to food, you know, whatever. And it was triggered by a traumatic event or by the way their parents treated them or something that had happened and they just like really hated themselves. Like, did you have thoughts or anything like that that had spurred this?
I think I was just scared of being fat.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's still like an irrational fear of mine. Like,
same.
Which like it's definitely irrational based on like what my family looks like, or my genetics, my lifestyle. But it's just something that still sits in the back of my head, and gaining weight is still scary for me. Like, I can be as recovered as, you know, as anyone. I don't know, not as anyone, as someone would deem healthy. I still don't think I'm at that point yet. I definitely still struggle with things, but gaining weight is just a scary thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's uncomfortable when your clothes don't fit right and you're just like looking at a different body. So doing that to a 15-year-old, and I talk with my therapist about this and she gets so upset. She's like, they offered you no counseling. Like, you had no counseling through this. And I was like, nope, just dumping food in my body.
So you're in the hospital. What, you didn't?
No, I did it at home. I did it at home.
And then were you allowed to go through your recovery process? Were you allowed to go to school? And
not for a month.
Okay. So how was, so that month was the strict food and everything?
Yeah, it was awful. I was on bed rest. Couldn't like go for walks. Couldn't like, it was like you literally sit and eat. It was so bad.
God, that sounds miserable.
It was so bad. And then going back to school, obviously, like, my parents, I don't know how much they told them, but I was so worried that everybody was like clocking everything I was eating to be like, is she eating? Is she eating? So that added on like another level. And then I was still having to eat all these meals at certain times a day. Like, was never even hungry, because it's just like they're pumping you with so many calories in a day. And when you're not moving and not like living your normal lifestyle, it just feels, it was so much work, so much work. And I mean, for years, it just kind of really screwed up how I saw food and appropriate times to eat. Like, I was like, I just was so out of tune with my body did not have good hunger cues, didn't have like good cues to tell me when to stop eating. Like, everything was just kind of screwed up. And still I struggle with it. Like, I think especially things like hunger cues and stuff and such.
What do you mean by a hunger cue? I get what you mean by hunger cue, but like my first hunger cue of the day, I ignore for as long as possible.
Oh no, I'm a big breakfast girl.
You know, like I can't. So like when, so how did you grow from there? So you never went to, were young living in your parents' house and those, because you ended up going away to college and those 2 years after recovery or whatnot, did you ever talk about it or what happened then?
No. So junior and senior year of high school, I was like pretty good. I was,
did they prescribe you medicine or anything?
And no, nothing. It's on my own. Right. And so I was fine. I like junior and senior year of high school didn't really have too many problems. Like had disordered with eating thoughts, but it wasn't something that controlled my life. I didn't like relapse into a bad place. And then freshman year of college, it's kind of the same thing. It was like I had something that someone, you know, that had been beaten into my brain, similar to that comment about blowing up when I got my period. I knew that people gained freshman 15. And I was so scared. Yeah. I was so scared of gaining the freshman 15. So I took a radically reverse strategy. And I had very calculated things that I would eat at each of the dining halls, and didn't really stray from those. If I didn't work out, I wouldn't go out. Which as a freshman, like I missed just so many opportunities to like interact with people. I was so overly consumed by food and exercise that, I mean, it completely jaded.
I think that's
my experience.
That's something that people don't talk about enough is how much you miss out on life when you are obsessed with this like eating disorders and any addiction, but really specifically eating disorders. Like I can think of, like I didn't go to Burning Man twice because I like the thought of, and I could have gone for free, early entrance, late leave or whatever. And because I was like, I can't be like people like don't wear clothes that I'm going to get hot. Like I can't go. I can't do it. And like I didn't go in the Grand Canyon because like you have to be in a bathing suit. And those are just three of like hundreds of examples that I was like, I cannot do this. I can't go to that dance. Like I can't do that. Like I have to wear a different cloth. Like I can't. Because I did gain the freshman 15 and I've always been, I went from being super skinny to overeating and then getting really big and then losing that just because, I don't even know. It's a long story, but people don't talk about how much life you miss out on.
You miss out on so much. And it's things that like going out to dinner, you have no, I mean, if you're not in this mindset, you have no idea what a like absolute shit show that goes on in your brain.
I feel you.
Going
on dates is really hard for me.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I can't like.
It's, oh, I always do. Tough. I always did like drink dates. I was like, maybe we'll get to dinner when like
we'll work up to that.
Maybe apps. I freshman year I would do anything to just redo that experience because it just set the tone for the rest of my college experience, and I didn't meet the right friends, and I didn't I didn't experience the way that I feel like a lot of people did, and I really missed out on so much. When I look back at pictures of myself freshman year, I'm just like, Jesus
Christ. How much did you weigh then?
Oh, I don't know. I was literally a rail. Like, oh my God. It was
tiny little Andy.
Terrifying.
Just wanted to eat a cheeseburger.
It's like a brat doll. I was like skin and bones and like a big ass head. Like, oh my God. And then some of my girlfriends called me out on it. And it was girls that I wasn't that close with. And I was like, okay, like I need to do something. But it just wasn't like, I was still like, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And then I went home for the summer. My parents were like, no, you're doing something about this. So it became more about eating more calories. And really, luckily, I had gotten – I was a big runner, and I had gotten an injury, like, on the back of my hip or something. Came out of nowhere. It's probably because my body was like, we can't keep living like this.
Yeah.
And wasn't able to run for like 6 weeks, and really had to like slow down and focus on myself a little bit. And that got me back to like a healthier place. And the rest of college was still a little bit of a minefield, but it was never to the point where I was at my freshman year. Cause I had made some friends.
And how old are you now?
27.
And that was when you were like 18, 19?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, I mean, college was still hard because you're constantly surrounded by things that encourage you not to, that just challenge someone with an eating disorder every day.
Media in general, yeah. You think? But what about in school specifically?
Well, I mean, just at a college campus, you're constantly surrounded by lots of drinking. And then, you know, with lots of drinking, you get hangovers. And so you're not able to, I can't work out when I'm super hungover. And then you're constantly surrounded by, like, pizza at 2 a.m. and just like going out for shitty brunch food. And just, it's like kind of, you know, a tailspin. Just there's always
party culture. And that's so, it's so fun, but so not. And that's so OSU too.
Yeah. And the girls that I lived with in my house, was 7 girls, all of them, which like health and like, I don't know, kind of just like living a little bit better was not a priority. And so like mm-hmm. those things were very apparent in my household.
Yeah.
But also they're college girls. So then it would be like 1 week, like, oh, I got to diet before this. Or like, I'm going to work out super mm-hmm. hard. And so that was like another triggering thing. Cause it's like, no, we like, you guys don't need to diet. Like, let's not talk about that in this household.
Yeah.
So the whole thing in college was just like a constant, like, just like a little flick at my eating disorder. Like always kind of mm-hmm. like, just like poking the bear a little bit.
Yeah.
Did
you ever talk about it then? Did you know? Were you aware of what was
yeah.
going on?
Actually, what was really, really great is I met one of my best friends still. We met sophomore year, and she first time we met, she's like, did you have an eating disorder? And I was like, excuse me? Yeah.
That's a good friend.
I was like, what? Did you? And she's like, oh, yeah.
Hardcore.
Been bulimic for years. And I was like, oh, shit. We have something to bond over.
Yeah.
And so with her, she was such a good resource to talk about it. But we were both going through shit in college. Like I said, you're constantly being challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, you want to look hot in college. Like, that's what you're trying to do.
It's true. I guess so. I was more in college of, like, power eating burritos and drinking all. I was, like, I wanted to be one of the guys. I was just, like, one of the guys in that culture. I was, like, raised in that culture and just, like, binge drinking and fraternity life was, like, what I did. And I, like, wore sweatpants proudly. And looking back, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I was such – but I was also, like, happy but yet miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't – it was like happy, but yet not. You're like wearing a different facade, but
yep.
inside I'm like, oh my God. Like I didn't wear a bathing suit for a solid decade. Like I just was like, I don't do that. I can't do that. Like I can't. Like I can't. And I like didn't ever look at a picture of myself or, oh, wait, hold on. No, nah. That was all until I got a prescription of meds that like depleted the appetite. But it was like years of the love hate roller coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I talked about it a little bit and then, graduated, whatever. I don't know when I became like so much more open about it.
Yeah.
I think I just like don't give a shit. Like that's not, I don't know. That's not a defining thing about me. Like I don't know. I guess I don't know when I started becoming so open with it. I mean, after college, I like dealt with some exercise addiction.
And how's that now?
I don't know.
I feel you. I think we all kind of overexercise.
I feel
a
like it's
bit.
Getting better, but like any like medical professional would probably be like, you're a little bit addicted.
Slow it down. But you know what? But there's part of that. So I've been told, especially in the past 3 years since I've lived mm-hmm. back in Cincinnati, like every doctor, because I've been injured so many times and all this stuff, and every doctor was like, girl, you need to calm it down. I've been hospitalized twice for something else, but they were like, in the hospital, they were like for 3 days the first time, and they were like, you need to stop doing everything. And at that time, I would like run every day and go to hot yoga every single day.
Yep.
I had to go to hot yoga every day, but then I wouldn't eat and I would just drink because eating was like, I can't actually chew, so I'm just going to drink and smoke cigarettes, which is like what I've always done. Anyway, and like the day I get out of the hospital, you best bet the next fucking day I went to 2 hot yoga classes and I was like, y'all fuck yourself. I'm going to be fine. But it's like the whole,
yep.
which is the whole culture of like go harder, like you can do it is really triggering. Like to me, I was like, that's just part of my workflow. That's just part of my flow.
Yep.
Is overexercising every day, so fuck up.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, this is just me. Like, it's just like a me thing. It's just like one of my quirks, and
yeah,
I'm
like
no,
I'm
it's a
just
fucking
so
problem.
Accomplished. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I think I still deal with it. But I mean, when I was fresh out of college, I worked at a fitness company. Mm. All of my friends, we all met through doing cycling classes, and so how we bonded was working out. And so I was doing 2 days every single day, and I'd be so proud of myself. I was like, oh my god, I did 5 2-a-days this week, and holy shit. One of my really good friends, he was like kind of in the throes of that with me too. And we talk about it now. We're like, God, that was so terrible. I was so terrible.
Were you always tired? Was your body always swollen?
Like, it had to have been. Like, I don't even, like, I don't know how I did that.
Were you super tiny? Did you, was it dramatic, like, weight loss?
No, I was, like, thin. I was for sure thin.
Which you still are now. But, like, was there dramatic, you know, I would think that that much.
I mean, it was way thinner than I was now. I was probably, like, 90s pounds.
Jesus.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I was a pretty good athlete. Like, I did a good job in my marathon. I always say that. My boyfriend's like, no, we're not going back to that. And I was like, I was pretty good at that marathon. I bounced right back.
What was your marathon time?
Like 3:20 something. I was very close to Boston time. If I didn't have to pee a lot during it, could have made it. Damn. I didn't really care. Except for afterwards when my mom was like, you were like 4 minutes away. I was like, what? What? Nobody told me that I was pacing that way. But I picked it up. But it's, I mean, it's really best that I didn't have to do that whole deal again.
So, like, now as you go through it, and I would love to have you back, by the way.
Yeah.
To continue to talk about this.
I can tell you about my other mental illnesses.
Ooh, which ones you got?
Depression and anxiety.
Same.
A little bit of problem with alcohol. Same. So it's...
I don't know. Like, it's just always an up and... I keep thinking that I'm going to find some sort of balance in it, and I really just don't.
Same. I have, like, a good week, and I'm like, I'm cured.
Yeah, no. It's something... But also, though, I do think... But so now as you go through your days eating now, like, what is it like for you now?
So, past 2 years, having Michael, my boyfriend, in my life has been a huge help. And, like, I hate to say that, like, you need someone else to help you change, but I did. Like, that was just, like, what I needed. Like, I couldn't do it by myself.
Yeah. I feel
He is so... Outside of, like, having an eating disorder, like, I mean, just, it's, he can't even process what it would be like.
God. And, like,
oh, it's.
Oh, the envy.
Like, could you see, like, a bagel, a pizza, and then, like, a large fry for breakfast and be like, okay, then get on with the day. And that would absolutely wreck me. And my mind would not stop thinking about it.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
But now we, like, cook all the time. And my eating habits are, they're just so much more relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about every single thing I put in my body. Like, his birthday was this week, and we made, like, pizzas on Monday. And I was like, oh, my God, 2 years ago having a pizza on a Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's just – it's in a wildly different place. I mean, I'm still – I still deal with, you know, some exercise addiction stuff. And I don't know. I haven't talked to a lot of people who – have said that they're fully healed, but I don't know if that exists.
Ever goes away.
I just think your brain is always going to have some level of, like,
I think it's, yeah, the more
consideration
self, yeah,
of food.
I think the more self-love you get and the more growth. For me, in exercise addiction, it was so bad a year ago today. But, like, this past year, I've made myself so proud. And I always said that that's my daily slogan, but, like, it takes a while. Like, you just keep going on it. And now, I feel like it just, like, something will flip, you know, if you're really working at it. Like,
yeah.
One day all of a sudden I look at, like, I used to love, my favorite part of the day was overscheduling workout classes for the whole week. I'd be like, oh my God. And I would just, like, revel in the fantasy of doing 12 classes in a week. Like, oh my God, it's so fucking badass. It's so great. Now I'm like, dear fucking Lord, hell no. What, are you going to have at 5 a.m. to go do that shit? No.
Yes. And no. So weird. Like, when I used to read people's recovery stories, I'm like, no, but how did you get there? You're not telling me that. You're just acting like a light switch flipped.
Yeah.
It's exactly what happens, though. You just don't, like, I have no pivotal moment.
Right?
Me.
But, like, a light switch happens if you put in the work. Like,
yeah.
Light switches, well, I stopped drinking for 2 months this year and did intense trauma therapy over shit that, and it was like light bulbs just started flipping. It was like, finally, my body was like, we've been ready for this for so long. Finally. You know? And now it's like, whatever. Hold on. But at the same time, I've definitely, like, my body has changed. I've gained some weight.
Mm-hmm.
And that anxiety is so much I can't. It's, like, hard to, like, go to work and even, like, go outside sometimes. So maybe I'm not healed. Fuck. Damn.
So I was on my therapy calls because I was like, I have nothing to talk about. I cried the entire time. I was like, okay. My therapist, like, eyes just, like, kept widening, like, you what? What? And I was like, we probably should have gotten to that 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
There's always more change. There's always more that you can change about yourself in a positive way.
So when you said before, people are like light bulbs like flipping or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So like, have you had some of those experiences that you can remember?
No, I truly don't think there's been one. That I've just been really lucky to. I think I'm more like retrospective, where I look back on like a year ago or 6 months ago, and I'm like, holy shit! I was like, when did I become this much better? When did, like, where did that progress come from? Like, I haven't. There's not one moment that I can pinpoint where I'm like, okay, I'm deciding to change right now.
Yeah.
It's just happened really slowly, and I think it's just from efforts of adding things in slowly or taking things out slowly. And I truly don't know if it's been intentional. I think it's just something that's like kind of slipped through the cracks, and I've allowed it to stay.
Good for you. Well, it's got to be a reflection of like all the mental health work that you're putting into.
Yeah.
I feel like that is like, it all starts in the brain. And people say so easily, like, you know, it's just how much you love yourself. And you're like, oh my God, that is like such a heavy, complicated thing
as
to
if
just it, say it's so easy.
As if it was that easy. As if I just wake up this morning like, I'm going to love myself today.
Yeah.
It is not that easy.
Like, do you think it holds you back? Like, I still feel like it holds me back now in that, like, I could be so much better at my job and be such a better, like, having an online presence. And that's kind of like a big deal with my job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pretty much 85% of my job. That's it. And I am within my building now. And my work won't want to hear this, but whatever. You guys just don't listen. I'm like the worst one. I am lacking. It's like every year they're like, your social media game, girl, you got to get it up, you know? And posting is so hard for me because I have to look at pictures of myself. I'll take a photo, and I recently, like this one that I took that I was supposed to take for a client. I was technically getting paid to take this fucking photo and just put it on Facebook, and I started crying tears.
Oh,
and
my God.
This was just like 2 months ago. And I was like, I don't know what to do about this. So I had to take other photos, and it was like, it just feel, but that being said, as much as I'm describing, it's a lot. This is like way different for me to actually be able to talk about this. Before, I would just keep this inside and then just like smoke cigarettes and like not eat for 2 days or something, right? But I quit smoking, and I have stayed on that journey. So
now you have to talk about it.
It sucks. And you're just like, and then I quit drinking. I was like, oh my God. But like things like that, I feel like maybe like aren't talked about. Like it controls so much. So like now I'm personally like it's literally affecting like my whole life and like my fucking career and like,
yeah,
my future. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I've lately I went off antidepressants.
Good for you. I say good for you because everyone has their own journey with
getting back on them.
Are you okay? I think about that. I don't know, everyone has their own journey with them. They're not good for me. Those days,
yeah,
for me were not good. So it's behind me. But I know a lot of people have great success with
it. I went on them, and then I was in such a bad place. I was like, keep up in this dosage. And I was on such a high dosage, I was completely numb. And then I thought I was doing great. And so I went off them, like right at the beginning of the pandemic. I was like, I can do this. It was fine. I actually was great. Like through the beginning of the pandemic, my therapist is like, why are you doing so well? I was like, I don't know. I love this shit. And lately, I think I just, as the world's opening back up, I'm excited, but I'm super anxious. I am super nervous. The idea of having to put so much energy into doing things,
mm-hmm,
is like terrifying. And I'm just so tired thinking about it.
Maybe energy into what?
Into just like maintaining relationships again. It's,
yeah,
like, okay, now we're back to it. We're doing happy hours. We're doing like meetups. We're doing coffee. And I love seeing people, but holy shit, I'm so tired. And I'm at the point now where like even get, like yesterday I worked from bed because I was like, I can't do anything. And I was like, oh, this seems like we might be having a depressive episode. So I think that it's time to get back on them, which we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But that's like the whole self-love thing. It's holding me back from being, because I'm so, and I'm like, my boyfriend's like, I think you're doing great. And I'm like, that's cool. I hate who I am inside right now.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't feel anything like myself. And so it's holding me back from being a better employee, a better friend, a better daughter, a better, like, just all these things that I want to, that I pride myself on doing well. And so, you know, for some people it's going to be, I don't know, talking about it more. Mm-hmm. And for me, though, I feel like I don't ever shut up about it. So I'm like, maybe some medication is now the next step.
Yeah. I never shut up about it either. So you can, oh, you're always welcome here. You can always come here and run your mouth. And I will try my best not to overrun my mouth, but and try to listen because I feel you. But I feel like if people don't understand or aren't going through it, then it's hard to really hold space for people who are going through it. And like I'll hear other people react to things of I can see people struggling in trauma from a freaking mile away.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it in people's eyes. And I'm like, oh, yes, I got you.
That's why I'm with eating disorders. I'm like,
yep.
I think we need to have a little one-on-one.
Right? But when I hear people talk shit or just, like, talk about how somebody acted some way or did something or whatnot that was honestly maybe shitty.
Yeah.
And I will know, like, that person did not mean to do that. Like, I understand them so much, but also, like, it was a shitty human thing to do, and that's where I feel like I kind of live in that space too. And I'm like, this is all, like, I don't know, it's so hard. I don't really know exactly where I was going with that.
No, I get it,
but that is, has for me, so heavily related to getting coffee with people and then going out to drinks with people and going out to dinners, but at the same time being like, how come no one invites me? I mean, like, it's because I can't handle it because I'm a cat.
Yeah. It's me. That's my constant struggle. Like, wow, got left out of this. And someone invites me. I'm like, fuck. I'm like, I don't want to go to that.
So much anxiety about it.
I can totally understand why people wouldn't want to invite me. They're like, we don't really want to hear you complain about how you don't want to come. Yeah. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Andy, thank you so much for being so open and honest. I must say, when I met her through the group of women that I became friends with over the past year, it was really Andy, when people said that she talks so openly about it, it was really through her that I found the strength to talk openly about it as well. So thank you so much, girl. You've, like, helped me out so much. And to everyone who ever invited me to Burning Man and I couldn't go, now you know why. So I was weird about it. I probably lied. I remember once I made it that I was, like, getting surgery, like vaginal surgery, so I didn't have to go on a boat trip once. That was in Telluride as well. Anyway, a long time ago. And for the people who invited me to go on the Grand Canyon, now you know, sorry about that as well. Maybe one day. Again, thank you so much, Andy. And if anyone who's listening to this is going through the same thing or knows somebody who is, please, please seek help. Please do not be afraid to talk about it anymore. You can at least talk to me, you know? I'll make jokes to you about it and get you through it every day, or we can lean on each other. I just want you to know that you're not alone, and it doesn't have to be a secret that you're ashamed of anymore. There's so much stigma surrounded around this, and while it's super unfortunate, I get it, and let's try to break that, okay? You can also log on to eatingrecoverycenter.com for more needed help, and also call 1-866-438-8902. Again, thank you so much for listening. You can email me, natalie@wkrq.com. And like the podcast, subscribe, tell your friends. If you know anyone you think would benefit from this, please share this with them. Y'all, you ain't alone, okay? Whatever you do today, make yourself proud, love and light, all those things. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.